I'd like to read a verse from the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. It's on page 1021 in this Bible. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the fence and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And in the New Testament, in the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, page 1434, chapter 2 and verse 4, before our Saviour God, who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be rendered in his own times, to which I have been appointed a herald and apostle. I speak the truth, I do not lie, a teacher of the nations in faith and truth. And lastly, in Daniel, the book of Daniel, in chapter 5. Daniel 5 and verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, and the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Further down, in verse 10, the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet house. The queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, neither let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and so on. Just think for a moment of the feelings of God as in the language of this verse I read, as he searched or sought for a man. A man that would stand in the breach before me for the land, it says. His people had been about to go into captivity, and he was, his earthly people, and he was looking for someone to stay that captivity, to stand there and provide a warrant for his people not going into captivity. And he searches for a man among them, among his earthly people, an earthly people that he had poured so much blessing on. He searched, no doubt, through the religious hierarchy, through the kings and so on. And what conclusion did he come to? But I found none. This is the Creator God, the God who made man in his image and after his likeness. That God. And he's looking for one man to be able to take on the task or the project that he had in mind. And he says, I can find no one. But the message of the gospel tonight is that God has found a man, not to fulfill the project in this chapter here, but to fulfill a far greater project, a far greater mission. And that was the mission to bring blessing to every individual in this world, if they would open their hearts to receive it. You know, I've told this story before, but during the Civil War in America, a vital message had to be carried to a general on the front line. And it was a dangerous venture because the enemy lines had to be gone through. And it was delegated to an officer to find someone capable of carrying this message. And after much thought and deliberation, this officer selected a soldier, and that soldier was his own son. The components that were needed to carry this message was to be brave, but above all, to be trustworthy. And that soldier, that son, carried that message successfully to the general on the front line. I want to tell you, and the gospel wants to tell you, of another son who carried a far greater message into this world, a far greater mission. And that mission was to bring about a basis whereby the distance between God and man could be removed and removed completely. Who could encompass, who could qualify to carry that mission through to completion successfully? Only one person. Who was it? It was God's Son. And the basis, the thinking behind the sending of His Son into this world to accomplish that mission and to offer blessing to poor, sinful, and wretched man, the basis for it all was love. God so loved. I don't need to repeat John 3:16. Everybody knows it. But in that verse, there is the whole theme of God's outlook on mankind, that He sent His Son into this world in order to secure the blessing of you and me. Now, I don't know if you've been blessed. You will know that in your own soul, because the blessing that God offers is that you find not only that you're a sinner, that is some conclusion to come to, but you find that the one that He has provided as a Savior, you've come into personal knowledge and acquaintance with Him by faith. That's the story of the second scripture I read, that God is looking out from His house, because that book, the First Timothy, is dealing with the house of God. And God looks out from His house tonight, looks out on poor, needy man. And He says, I want you to come in and have a relationship with Myself. And to get to know that relationship means that you must come and find blessing in the one that I'm offering you in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. How magnificent of God. A God who's been a man is indifferent to. A God who has sent His Son and the Son has been rejected. How magnificent that tonight in 2022 God is offering you the opportunity to come and know this person as your personal Savior. What did the fulfilling of His mission involve? The story of Jesus coming is well known. It involved Him coming into this scene and taking up the whole question of sin that had bedogged man from the first time that sin came into this world. He came in order to take up the matter of sin and to settle it and give God a righteous basis in order to look out with favor towards you and me and every person in this world. Was He successful? What did it involve? It involved that the Lord Jesus traveled all the way to Calvary's cross. Love motivated Him. Love brought Him there to the cross of Calvary, and there, willingly submitting to the will of God, He offered Himself as an offering for sin. And there, on the cross of Calvary, after men had done their worst to him, nailed him, jeered at him, scoffed him, scourged him, crowned him with a crown of thorns. There, he faced the ferocity of divine anger against sin, and he bore it all in such a way that that judgment on sin was exhausted, totally exhausted. Not one iota of that judgment remained. It was totally exhausted. And God's claims on sin, as far as sin was concerned, were met and met to the full. And my Savior, having finished that work, went into the domain of death. And there, where every man had to bow to death, where every man had to yield and remain in death, my Savior broke the power and claims of death because there was no claim on him. He broke the power of death and came out triumphant. That's why tonight there's a living Savior to present to this world. Not a dead Savior, not a crucified Savior. He's been through these scenes, but now he's a living Savior at the right hand of God, and he's particularly interested in you tonight, that you might come to know him as your own personal Savior. Oh, what a witness there has been to the finished work of Christ, the shed blood at Calvary. There it is, a witness that God's claims have been met and God's heart can be made known. You know, of old, just out of interest, in the tabernacle, the cherubim, and the blood was put on the mercy seat, and the cherubim looked down on the blood, a witness to the effect that the blood had on God being propitiated and that man could go into the presence of God. But in the building of the house, these cherubim looked out, and they're looking out tonight, inviting persons to come in, and form a relationship with God on the basis of the finished work of Christ. Have you had an invitation through the door for something? This is the greatest invitation of all, that God is inviting you to find a place in his house and form part of the dwelling place of God. What an uplift for the sinner. What an uplift for the beggar on the street. What an uplift for the poor blind man that the Lord Jesus met in his sojourn here. What an uplift that such as you and I might come in to the greatest blessing of all. And that's the story of the gospel. And it's all because God has found his man. In the earlier verse we read, he said, I sought for a man among them. And it finishes, but I found none. God has found the man of his choice, his own son. And he's, on the basis of what he's done, he's satisfied. All his claims, his attributes, his nature have been righteously satisfied. And now tonight, in the glad tidings, he offers a savior for the sinner. And that's what we all were, sinners before God. And would have remained sinners, except had been for the mercy of God that reaches out. Mercy that reaches to the person at the lowest point and offers them blessing by lifting them up and taking them into the enjoyment of the presence of God. Well, I haven't a lot to say in this preaching, but you know, the preachers of old, and I sat under quite a number of them, as many here would have done, they presented a gospel of the grace of God, of the love of God, of the righteousness of God. But they never failed to give a warning. And that's what I want to do tonight. That's why I read Daniel 5. That the person who rejects the Lord Jesus as Savior, that person will have to face him as judge. There's no dubiety about it at all. And these preachers of old, they didn't mitigate the message. It's clear in the Word of God. Furthermore, quite a few of them used to go to the back of the door and you just could hardly get past them, you know. And you were wondering to get past them. And asked you the simple question, was the Lord Jesus your Saviour? Well, I've read about this king, Belshazzar. And it was the last day of his life. He didn't know that. And nor do you and I know. The curtain might fall on our lives at any moment. Be I old or be I young. It might be the last day for someone here. It will certainly be the last day for someone in the world. How would it be with you? What do you see beyond death? I'll tell you what lies beyond death for the sinner. Simple word explains it all. Judgment. And that at the hand of God. How solemn. When the opportunity to open the heart to the grace of God displayed in Jesus has been offered you time after time. Dear friend, what is your position tonight? This king had everything except a link with God. He had plenty of wealth. And here he is, banqueting. And suddenly, and he's even misusing the vessels of the house of God, the temple of God. And suddenly, in the midst of this jollification, he sees the fingers of a hand. And the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over the candlestick. Writing on the wall and the light of the candlestick shining upon them. And suddenly, all the frivolity of the moment was gone. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. The joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. He had all the power that he needed. He had the power to put to death, power to keep alive. He'd had testimony borne him. And suddenly this great king, he's standing there trembling, totally at a loss but fearful as to what this all meant. Sends for the wise men, the astrologers, all the wise men of his kingdom. Not one can provide an answer. And then the queen, I understand was the queen mother, she comes up and she says, there is a man in thy kingdom. This was Daniel, of course. I'm not likening Daniel to Christ, but I'm telling you tonight, there's a man who has a kingdom and is able to solve and settle every problem that you possibly have. And especially the problem of your sins. He settled that at Calvary's cross. And I didn't read it all. This is a very solemn chapter because this man is going to be slain within hours. But Daniel bears testimony to the fact that the witness he had in his previous king, Nebuchadnezzar, he had ignored. A king that had exalted himself and been humbled by God and had come to recognize the true God. He says, you ignored all this. You haven't glorified, better get the words right. You've praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood and stone, and so on. The God in whose hand thy breath is, whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Very solemn. And that's the God, dear friend. God hasn't changed. That's the God who's speaking to you tonight. I want to ask you, do you know this man that I've been speaking about? The Lord Jesus. He's a man to fill your heart, to fill your life, to bring change into your life. And to us who have put our faith in him, let me ask you, what change has the Lord Jesus really made in your life? That's a very faithful question to myself and to each one here. What change has he really made in your life that has made you different from what you were before you came to know him? This man was within hours of his dying, and he was weighed in the balances, and he was found wanting. I came across an old preaching recently. The title of it was Weighed, Measured, Counted. And if you're a sinner without Christ, you're weighed in the balances, divine balances, and you're found wanting. And as for measurement, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. God's standard is his glory, and only one man has ever lived according to that glory. Weighed, measured, counted. You think of that shepherd, the Lord tells a parable, and he counted his sheep, and one was missing. One was lost. If he counts his sheep tonight, will you be the lost one? Will you be the missing one? Oh, this is the man that can change your life and fill it with joy and happiness if you're prepared to put your trust in him. May you do so, and may God bless the world. Amen.